Okay, good evening. Welcome back. We're going to continue tonight. First part reviewing the Gemara that we learned last week. I don't expect that we're going to go on the Gemara too much tonight. We'll read maybe a few more lines. But we have some unfinished business from last week and also more to discuss here on the Amud before we go on. So we had been discussing for the last several Shiurim that the Gemara, already from the beginning of the Mishnah, based on the days, it's discussing over here how many judges are needed to be done, Dinim Mamonos, Midoraisa, and Midorabanan. And we had been focusing primarily on the position of Rabbi Vohu, who explained that in the Torah, Shloshim Mumchim are necessary, but the rabbis relaxed these standards in order to make sure that people would be inclined to lend money, and they did not want to make the process of collections too difficult. And so therefore, Mishum Shalotino Deles Bifnelovin, in order to not close the way, lock the door, literally, before borrowers, so therefore these standards were relaxed. Last week we were introduced to another opinion, Rav Acha Reid Ravika, which is found about 8 or 9 lines from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, who says no. He says, Midoraisas Chad Nami Koshe, that actually, in the Torah, one judge is sufficient. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Bitzedek Tishpot Amisecha, that you shall judge your neighbor, your fellow, righteously, b'tzedek. But the key word over here in this pasuk for our purposes is tishpot, which means you shall judge in the singular form. So here the Torah is addressing one individual and calling him a judge. So we see from there that one judge is sufficient. Now, needless to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, the Rav Acha Reid Ravika is not suggesting that one judge is sufficient in all cases. Of course, we still have the Nikra Balabais El Elohim, 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 3 times, as we're going to see, elaborate on the Gemara later. And clearly there are other situations where even more than 3 judges are necessary. But there is precedent from the Torah. There are situations in which one judge is sufficient. Ella, continues the Gemara, Mishum Yoshei Kronos. The only reason why 3 are required is Mishum Yoshvei Kronos. So towards the end of the shiur last week, we spent time on this question, what does Yoshvei Kronos mean? This expression, Yoshvei Kronos, literally those who dwell or live or hang out on the streets. We saw many different suggestions. Rashi seems to have sort of the middle-of-the-line approach over here. It's not extreme in any one direction. Rashi says that these are people who are not particularly learned. They're not necessarily drunkards on the street. They're not individuals who are morally corrupt, but they're just they're involved in whatever their daily business is, and they are not experts, says Rashi, in Baki and Bativ Dinim. And so therefore there's concern that there may be some incompetence on their part. And so in order to avoid a situation in which we'll have completely incompetent people serving as judges and therefore mistakenly awarding certain individuals who are not entitled to money and the denying or depriving other people who are, so therefore there was an institution that 3 judges are necessary. So Gemara, wait a second. But even if you have 3 judges, does that mean that you can't have 3 Yoshvei Kronos? You could have, just like you could have 1 guy who's incompetent, you could have 3 people who are incompetent. So says the Gemara, no. If you have 3, it's impossible there won't be one who is gummier. Which means he's learned. He has the necessary credentials, says Rashi, Shishama Michachamim, Umidayonin, Hilchos Din Milda. He's not himself an expert judge. He doesn't have smicha. He's not someone who has much experience in these matters, but he's attended several shiurim, and he's spent time listening to the Chachamim and to other Dayanim, and so therefore he knows the basics of the laws of loans, and so therefore he is sufficiently qualified to hear such a case. The way the Gemara reads over here leaves many questions that we're going to discuss right now as to what exactly that means. But let's continue reading for the moment. It says, if this is true, if what is true, so the way the Rashi learns this, if it is true that the rabbis have sanctioned, have basically authorized 3 people to sit and judge others, even though they are not necessarily mumchim, even though they're not expert judges, so then, ta'u lo yishalmu. Then if they make a mistake, if they make a real error, not just that turns out that there was something that was not known to anyone, but really it was like if they really erred because they were not sufficiently qualified to hear the case in the first place, so then they shouldn't have to pay. We've explained earlier, the last time the Gemara raised this question, that later on in the Masechta we're going to see that mumchim, people who are authorized, people who are licensed to serve as judges, so they are given a special legal immunity that even in the case where they mess up, they are not required to pay from their own pocket. There may be a reversal of the din, but they would not be personally liable. But that only applies to mumchim. It doesn't apply to anyone else. So says the Gemara, if it's true that these three individuals are granted the authority by Chazal to serve as judges, so they should also be granted this immunity. Says the Gemara, no. Why? Because then koshkin g'nefishi yoshri kronos. Because if we automatically granted immunity to anyone who would serve as a judge, regardless of his level of qualifications, so then we would certainly increase the likelihood that there would be incompetence in this area, because people would have no hesitation to serve in this capacity because they would never be held personally liable. But if a person knew that by assuming the responsibility to serve as a judge, he was assuming a personal risk as well, so therefore if he made a real goof, he would be responsible to pay, so he may say, you know, thanks, but no thanks, I'm not interested. So that is basically the way I think this is more or less a reconstruction, because we saw this last week, the way the Gemara presents this other opinion of Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra. Now notice, I pointed this out last week, that both Rav Avoh and Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra sort of end up at the same place. Namely, that according to what they are both saying, Hodos v'Halvos, this sort of this lower tier of Dinei Mamonos, can be heard by three underqualified judges, Hedyotos as we're calling them. They're not super qualified, they're not Mumchim, they're not Yoshvei Kronos either, but they are sort of this lower tier judges. They are sufficient. The question is, how do we get to that point? So according to Ravo, we start with the Torah's requirement of much more than that, but Chazal lower the standards, and according to Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra, the Torah actually allows for much less than that, but Chazal raised the standards. So that prompts the Gemara to the final question, and I don't believe we saw this last week, says the Gemara, so my Ika bein Rav lo Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra. So then what then is the difference between Rav and Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra? At the end of the day, everyone is in agreement that three Hedyotos are necessary to hear Hodos Vavos, so why does it make a difference whether you start with three mumchim and you end up with three adyotos, so if you start with one dayan and you end up three, at the end of the day, everybody agrees. So says the Gemara, give me an ayud amr Shmuel. The napkamina would be, the practical difference would be, what would Rava or Rav Acha ben Rav Yikra say in the following case? The amr Shmuel, Shmuel had previously taught, shnayim shadanu, if two people serve as judges in a case, right? Not one, not three, but two. So Shmuel says, dinehem din, if they actually went ahead and served as judges, so any ruling that they issued would be considered valid. It would not be considered to be invalid, and therefore would require a new hearing. Ela shenikru bezdin chassus. But Shmuel says, even though dinayim din, even though after the fact we would consider this to be acceptable, they are called the bezdin chassus. I hope that if we have time tonight, we'll talk about what that means. Chutzpah, of course, we're familiar with the word in a general sense. Sounds a lot like the word chutzpah, which is what Rashi says over here, that it's a chutzpah that they were over al tachanus chachamim. Chazal, as we saw, say that three judges are necessary. These two guys went ahead and served as judges, even though there were only two. So, we'll let it pass, but really what? But even though it's a chutzpah, bezim chutzpah. So, says Gemara, l'rava, leslei d'shmua. According to Rabba Vahu, we saw previously they say really what, three are required, so then three are required, two are not sufficient. Anything less than three, now it's true that Chazal lowered the standards from three mumchim to three adyotos, but still three, that's the bare minimum. However, Rav Yikra would say, yeah, if one is good, so certainly two is good. Right? I mean, you could make a case, and we'll talk about this as well, to maybe why one would be better than two. But if one is good, certainly two is good. So says the Gemara, the nafkamina between Rava and Rav Acha ben Rav is what would you say in the case of two judges? Okay, so that's probably all the Gemara we're going to see inside tonight. We're going to come back to the Gemara to take a look at it. But now I want to take a look at the sheets. Hopefully everybody has a new set of sheets. Even though I told you last week, hold on, you know, Whenever I say that, you can probably ignore me, because I usually end up paying new marmakovos, so just incorporating the old one in. But, so, couple of very important issues we need to discuss in light of this Gemara. The first one is, the Gemara says over here, in the very beginning of what we read tonight, that really, according to Rav Achmar de Rav Iko, one judge is sufficient, but we require three Mishum Yoshvei Kronos, because Chazal was concerned that, what, you would have a situation where people who were really underqualified, who were just not equipped to be able to serve the judge's will, but if you have three, E'efshar, it's impossible that you won't have at least one guy who is Gamir. Gamir means, as far as we know right now, meaning that he's, you know, he's somewhat learned. As Rashi said, he's attended a few shiurim, he's heard from other chachayim and my other derim, he has a basic idea of how these matters are to be handled. So the tour in Choshen Mishpat Simen Gimel, now no, of course, notice that that's all the way in the very beginning of Choshen Mishpat, because Choshen Mishpat, the very beginning, deals with the laws of judges, right? That's the first thing you find. So here, in the third Simen, of all of Choshen Mishpat, the Torah writes as following: Ein bezdin bepachos mishlosha. A bezdin must have at least three judges. V'chos losha nikron bezdin v'afilo yotos, and any number of three are called a bezdin, even if they're hed yotos. Hed yotos again means even if they are not expert judges with lots of experience and smicha, etc. That's how the Torah begins this discussion. Then he records a machlokes rishonim regarding the following question: because of harama, dafka de gemiri dina. Alpha pitalo svire. V'yir mitvarav, the boy shlashtam gemire. The Rama writes, it's true that three hedyotos are sufficient, however, they have to be gemire. What does gemire mean? They have to be learned. Even though they're not svire, or it could be that they're supposed to be smiche. So smiche would mean what? They smicha. What does svire mean? What's the difference between gemire and svire? Gemara, svara, right? Well, so we'll just, Gemire, oh, so which is which? Sphere is more intelligence. We're going to see later on, maybe we'll see later on. The Prisha says like that. The Prisha says sphere means people who have innate intelligence, that they are just intelligent, that you're able to, you know, use their own seichel to understand, you know, nuances, and they can, you know, intuit things and can apply concepts in different cases. So they're just, you know, intelligent individuals, but they are not necessarily learned. So, says the remark clearly, when we talk about hegyotos, they can't be everything. If they're hegyotos that are gemiri and the smicha and the sphere, so that they're not hegyotos, the mumchen. So what is the difference between a mumchen and a hegyot? So says the remark, hegyotos are gemiri. That's going to be the base level that we're going to accept. Yoshvi Kronos, for sure, we're not interested in those guys. Mumchen, we don't insist on them. So we'll settle for hegyotos. Hegyotos means that they're gemiri. However, says the remark, very important, but three have to be gemiri. It's not enough to have two that are gemiri. One, three have to be gemiri. Can anybody think of a problem with that statement from the Rama?
It's not what the Gemara says.
What does the Gemara say?
Gemara says at least to find one that's gemiri.
Right, says Gemara, really one would be sufficient, but we require three because we're concerned about Yoshvei Kronos. But even three you can have Yoshvei Kronos. Says Gemara, no, if you have three, it's impossible. At least one guy is not going to be gemiri. It sounds like what? It sounds like if you have one learned guy on the bench, that's sufficient. So it comes along the Torah and calls his father the Rush. Aval, only Avi Rush Zal Kasav. He quotes the Gemara. What does it say in the Gemara? B'shlosha e'efshe the lesbu chad the gamir. If you have three, it's impossible. You're not going to have at least one guy who's learned. Shoshama that he heard, or Karas the Svarim that he read in other books. As far as he knows how these things work, and he knows the basics of how to conduct a hearing in the Imamunis. If you don't have at least one guy, that's what the Gemara seems to imply, then that's going to be a real problem. So, we have a machlokas between the Rama, not the Rama, not Ramosha Isulish, who's, you know, the famous, commentary. We don't think of him as a commentary, but commentary on the Chaber and Shulchan Aruch. This is one of the Rishonim, and he argues on the Rush as to whether or not the minimum requirement for three of Yotas means that all three of them have to be Gemire, which means they have to be somewhat learned, or even one. Based on what we know already, or I should say based on what we've seen in the Gemara, the Rush seems to be quite compelling. I mean, that particular position. In fact, the Ramah has to explain for himself. We're going to have to try to explain that position. How do we paskin the Shulchan Aruch? So in source number 2, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch paskins ein bezdin pachus mishlosha, just like we saw in the Torah. The chos shlosha nekram bezdin afilu hediotos. Even if they're not mumchim, that's also good. The yefsha the less buchad yodeya svaris v'dinim, aval he less buchad yada psile l'dim. So the Torah quotes from his father, the Torah quoted from his father, and this is a position that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that as long as you have one guy who's gamir, so that is sufficient. This is not what we strive for, this is not considered to be the ideal, but we could live with this. We could live with this, even if we only have one guy who is gamir. By the way, we don't yet quite understand how that works. What happens when the three of these people get together? What is the function of the one smart guy or learned guy? How is he supposed to interact with the other two? So hopefully we'll get there soon as well.
This summer is pre-learned as opposed to what we might think about the Yoshe Koranos.
Right, Yoshe Koranos, we want to stay away from these guys.
I don't.
You see, Yoshe Koranos is not that the guy walks around with a sign on his shirt that says, you know, I'm a Yoshe Koranos. I think that Yoshe Koranos is just a general category of people who just, you know, they just have no idea. They're just, we'll say, underqualified. They're just, right? Is that the way? You know, they're just there. I'm sorry? Right, so if, no, it doesn't, because we're not selecting from a pool of Yoshe Koranos and assuming that 33% of all Yoshe Koranos are Gemirim. That's not the idea over here. The concern is that if we grab any three people together, we're concerned that some of them may be Yoshe Koranos. There may be people who are just not qualified to handle this. They have no business being here. But if you have what? If you have three people, so says Gemara, we still don't know how this is so, how the mathematics work, it's impossible you're not going to have at least one guy who's Gemirim. But we're not saying that, you know, that one out of every three Yoshe Koranos is a gummy. Because then we wouldn't call him a Yoshe Koranos anymore if he's gummy. What'd you say?
It's like our jury pool
today. Okay.
I mean, that's what you have to think of it as.
Bad example. How does the process work in terms of you have two valet in? How do they decide that these are going to be their dayanim or not?
Right. So somebody asked this question last week. So that's the subject of the third parak. I mean, very simply, they're both going to have to buy into it. When we're dealing with the Dina Mamnis case, you know, technically each Baal Din, each litigant has the right to choose at least one of his judges. So if they, you know, if there's some contention, then there's a process that they follow through. But let's assume, you know, just simple at this point. You know, two guys come and they pull three guys to the side and say, will you be our judges? We have a dispute. But again, the question is, how does the Ramah say that three are required? How do you learn that three gemiri are required when it says very clearly in the Gemara? It says very clearly in the Gemara that it's impossible if you have three people. It's impossible that at least one guy won't be gemir. It sounds from the Gemara that that's acceptable to be evit. So how do we explain this position? The Ramah seems to go against the Gemara. So many of the Mefarshim asked this question. I'll show you two answers. First comes Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah source number 3. Lecha Mishnah was a parish on the Rambam. I did not record the Rambam over here. Forgive me, but the Rambam, the Lecha Mishnah, in his parish on the Rambam, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Beis Halach Yud, writes the following: the heis of the honey hediotos lo gamri, in the case where these hediotos are not learned, velo savri, and they are not intelligent, kosev atzur b'shem aviv b'simin gimel, the Torah writes the psili elam kain, unless isbuchad the gamri, unless you have one of them who is learned, that's sufficient. The Rama says, no, all three of them have to be learned. The Kasha Ladas Rama. Shabri Gamar Amru Bishloshi Yapsha the Lash Bukhad Gamir. Mashbu the Bukhad Gamir Sagi. Says the Lecha Mishnah, the question that we ask against the Rama. How do you say that? Because they have to roll. It says in the Gemara, if you have three, at least one of them will be learned. That seems to imply that one is sufficient. So the Yeshlomar, the Lecha Mishnah says the following. The Ramas Virle, the Maida Kama Begimel, E. F. Shadalas Bukhad Gamir. When the Gemara says, when you have three, it's impossible, one won't be learned, Lav the Meimra, the Is Bukhad Gamir Sagi. It doesn't mean to say that if that in fact is the case, that you have three people, two of them have no idea what they're doing, and one is Gamir, that's okay. Elohi Kama, this is what the Gemara means to say. Logazra Bonamistan Shlosha de Gemire, Atu Gimel Yoshe Kranos. The Gemara says that when you have three people who are sufficiently qualified, namely they are learned, they're not mumchim, but they're learned, we don't say that's no good because that will lead to a case of three Yoshe Koranos. Why? The kevin dafilu yeshri kranos. Even if he had yeshri kranos, he absolutely bechaduk the gemara. There's always going to be one guy who's going to know something. Afikav to become a compuzzle. Even though the truth is, yeah, this is no good. If you have a bezdin with two out of the three judges don't know what they're talking about, that's no good. But yet lo chashul rabbanu kuli halim nigzar atu hadustam shlosha enereis v'kolkach. All it means is that the rabbis were not going to construct another gezeira to say that what? Even three hedyotos is not good because it may lead to three yoshri kronos. Because the likelihood is that you'll never really have three yoshri kronos. But if you did have three yoshri kronos, or even two yoshri kronos, says the Lecha Mishnah won't be good. Now, the Lecha Mishnah, on the one hand, is a satisfying answer, but it really, I mean, in my opinion, doesn't fit well in the Gemara. Really doesn't fit so well in the Gemara. The Gemara really seems to be saying that, you know, after all, how can you get away with having three? After all, they could all be Kyoshu Kanos. At least one of them will be good. So I saw another answer to Shari Mish, but I found this much more satisfying. It's very creative. But, so we can even skip a few lines over here. The first five lines, he just, you know, repeats the question. So we can skip. So if you look at source number four, the fifth line, a few words in, the lean nearer. The lean nearer the Latarians. And I would think the answer is like this. Which means that there is a rule when it comes to witnesses, that if you have a group of witnesses that come and they testify together as a group of witnesses, if one of them is found to be a karav, a relative, or a pasul, or invalid for some other reason, so then the entire group of witnesses has been disqualified. They all become disqualified. The entire group is disqualified. Now, there are limits to that. We don't say that any time people are testifying about the same thing, they're automatically considered to be one group of witnesses. But when you have a group of witnesses that are testifying together, if one goes down, they all go down. That's a famous din in Ezos. It's learned from a pasuk. So comes along the Knesset Gedolah and says, that's not only true by witnesses, it's true by judges also. In Nimtz Echem Yekarv Apostle, Nisbatel Kolavah. If, let's say, three judges, and it turns out that one of the judges was related to one of the litigants, or it turns out that one of the judges was a thief, obviously that's going to be a disqualification. So in that case, the entire group has to be disbanded. By the way, that doesn't mean that they are disqualified permanently. We don't say that the other two judges are now permanently banned from being dayanim. It just means that this case, you know, we have to go back to square one. All these judges cannot be part of this. We get rid of one of them and keep the other two. So we don't. So that's what we're saying. We don't do that. So he says, if that's true, so then, if that's true, how do you explain our Gemara? The Gemara says, if you have three, you could also have Yoshe Kranos. The Gemara says, no, it's impossible. You're not going to have one guy who's learned it. So says the Gemara, says the Shar Mishpat, Akashi Kasha, Kevan demanda lo gamir pasul dina. Since a person who is not learned himself can't serve as a judge, in Cain, after Yesh b'neim chad gamir, even if you do have another guy who can, Mama honey, how does that help? Hakolavad batel. After all, we should say the entire group is considered to be batel, just like we find by Nimtze Echamein Karva Pasol, the Chala Edus Batela. So in other words, if it's true, as the Knesset Gedolah is saying, that when you have a group of judges, if one of them is disqualified, they're all disqualified, what then is our Gemara saying when the Gemara says, well, if you have three, at least you'll have one good one. Why does that help? If you have three and only one good one, they're all no good. Achnira, so now he comes along with the following very, it's really a very brilliant suggestion. When the Gemara says it's impossible that you're not going to have one guy who's learned it, Perish B'chadush Yaran, the Ran says, Klomar, it's impossible that you would have people who would agree to serve as judges unless they felt that they had one guy there who knew what he was talking about. Because until now, we've been painting the Yoshe Kranos in a very not nice way. We've been saying not only are these guys not so intelligent, not only have they never attended any shiurim in life, not only are they unlearned, etc., but not only that, they don't care about other people's money. they're even on a certain level, we'll say, morally corrupt. Because here they have the gall, they have audacity to go ahead and to serve as judges if they have no idea what they're talking about. So says around, that's not what it means. It means that these two Yoshvei Kranos would never agree to be judges in the first place, if not what? If not for the fact that there was another guy there. He quotes another position. The Yireim Lichanis Bedin, they're afraid. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe they're also concerned about having to pay. But whatever it is, they're concerned. Then Cain, Mishani Yashas, so therefore the Gemara says, Shapir, since they would never agree to be judges in the first place, were not for the fact that it was one guy learned, the Gamer who Shabaki Bedinin, this guy's smart, V'yodei Asvaris Bedinim, he knows already what's going on, and Kain Pshita, the Hagamer Shabaki Bedinim, lo yitztarif and Misha Inu Gamer, Leishe Bedin, the Afu Pasol of the Tzrufan. So what's going to happen, what the Gemara is saying is that you would never have a situation where you'd have three Yoshvei Kranos sitting together. Why? Because if you had two Yoshvei Kranos, they would never agree to get themselves into this in the first place, and if you didn't have one guy who knew what he was doing. And that one guy knows what he's doing is going to look at those other two guys and say, I can't do this. So it's never going to happen. You're never going to have a situation where you're going to have three Yoshvei Kranos, or even two Yoshvei Kranos, or even one of them. Because the guy's not going to want to, the gummy guy's not going to be involved with that. And that's why Chazal is talking three dayonim, meaning that they have to be dayonim who are gemiri, they have to be learned. So it's a very creative way of reading the Gemara. Right, the Gemara says three hajotos are necessary. Where the Gemara says really midaraisa one is good, but we require three. Why? Because we're concerned about Yoshvei Kranos. What does that mean? We're concerned about one Yoshvei Karen, one Yoshvei Kranos. So says the Gemara. But even if you have three, you should have the same concern. No, because if you have three, it's impossible you have one won't have one guy who's learned. Why? Because the other two guys would never want to get themselves into that. They would never want to commit themselves. Were it not for the fact that they had a guy among them who's smart, and the smart guy is going to look at them and say, I don't want to serve as a judge with these guys, and so therefore it's never going to get off the ground. And so therefore comes along with the Ramah and can comfortably say that three hadyotos are necessary, they must have a sufficient level of qualification, namely they must be gemiri, and that fits in with the Gemara. He says the Gemara never said that one is sufficient. The Gemara is just saying that since it's impossible, you won't have one guy who's gemir. So Lamaisa, you'll never have a situation where we have three Amoratsim sitting as judges, or as we see now, even two, or even one. Very fascinating. That's the explanation of the Shaar Mishpat. Yeah?
Originally you said that you have two witnesses that are related, that neutralizes the whole group of witnesses. And then did you add that if one is a thief?
Well, I was just giving an example of what may be a situation where he's a puzzle. You know, what is it, a puzzle within or a puzzle Avis? Well,
so I understand
not only is he
neutralized, but with regard to being a thief, I assume that's not just one case.
No, correct. Right, that wasn't the one case. When I said only this case, I meant only when they come to be made together and they're testifying together as one unit and they're coming in intentionally as one group. But, right, there are other situations where a person could be puzzled in even if he's not a thief. That's just most simple.
What's the liability?
Whose liability?
The Shokin.
So, Mumchim, again, those who are, we're going to call them licensed for the moment. So they have this special malpractice insurance. They're covered by the law that they would not have to pay from their own pocket. But anyone else is responsible. And again, and that's the subject of Sugi later on. Yeah.
So the specific question is,
the Gemara does say that. The Gemara says, it's three hagyotos. Well, that's what Hedyotis means. Hedyotis doesn't mean Yoshvei Kranos. Hedyotis means that they're like a Kohen Hedyot, right? It just means that he's not... So the Rishonim say, what does Hedyotis mean? So we saw that the Ramah says Hedyotis means Gemiri, even though not severe. I mean, and most agree that Hedyotis means that they have a minimal level of qualification. But
yeah, but the Gemara saying Yashvei Leshvahu Chad Gamir suggested that it's really Chad.
Maybe it's implying if you have one good guy and two not so good,
Right. So hold on one second. So let's not forget. At the end of the day, the tour follows the position of his father, the Rush, who says it like you. And if you look at Shulchan Aruch, they say like you. Most Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Rif as well, say like you. Namely what? They say that one Gamir judge is sufficient. What we've done, we care about the underdogs as well when we learn over here. We spent the first half hour of the Shia over here trying to explain the position of the Ramah, whose position is not accepted lahalacha, but, demands an explanation over here. How could he say that three hegiotos who are gemiri are necessary? After all, the Gemara clearly says one is sufficient. So we see it's not so clear. You could explain, but at the end of the day, you're right. If you're looking at the Gemara and you're saying, it really, really seems like the Gemara is saying that as long as one of the judges is gemir, that's sufficient. So you're right. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says. That's in source number two. As long as you have one guy. As long as you have one guy. By the way, again, I want to reiterate, the Shulchan Aruch is not saying that's what we should strive for, l'chatchila. We would certainly want, to set up a Beis Din with a higher level of qualifications. But if you find that that's what you're dealing with, so be the evidence that that's okay. Oh, and actually you see that made right now in the next source. You see that the Shulchan Aruch frowns upon putting together Batei Din that are incompetent. Because it says in source number five, this is what you should strive for. The people who serve on a Beis Din should be learning. They should be fit for this. A person should not agree to serve as a judge in a case until he knows, right? Da etzam yata yoshev. Right? You gotta know who you're sitting next to. Maybe he's sitting next to people that are hagunim. Einam hagunim doesn't mean that they're not so intelligent. Einam hagunim means they're not good people. These are not moral people. They're not ethical people. They're corrupt. And it turns out that this guy, he's a Talmid Chacham, and he's Roy, so he's now lowering himself to be sitting not on a panel of judges, but on a Kesher Bogdim is an expression like a band of corrupt individuals. So the Shulchan Aruch says we should certainly sort of strive for more. And interestingly, related to this, the Sma on that halacha writes in source number six that the Sma brings down over here that there were those who were so concerned about incompetence when it comes to serving as a judge that they really, really recommended that these hearings should take place alone, not in front of Balabatim. It says over here, but Shuvas Marivayel Simin Kufmein Vav Kasev Marash Vim Tishma Latzas. If you listen to me, Loteshev Eitzal Hakol B'Shum Din. I think what he's saying over here is you shouldn't have a din Torah in front of a whole group of people, right? Not what's that called? People's court, right? People's court. So the whole world gets to watch. So some people find that entertaining. So the Sma writes, if you ask me, I think that's a bad idea. Why? Because it's known, because very often, what people think is the din is actually the opposite. The Gemara is going to say later on that there were a group of people called the Nikiyei Hadas Sheb Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful expression, not so easy to translate. The people who were, had pure minds. People who were, very, very good, sincere people. What did they do? They were very careful about who they sat next to. They wouldn't just go ahead and agree to serve as a judge, even though that may look good on their resume, even though it may make them look very popular and it'll be good for their egos. But they didn't do that. They were very careful to make sure that they would only participate in a din Torah that was qualified. So we see over here that there is a concern that the pressure that's being placed upon Dayanim not to sit with a person who is underqualified. So what would happen? Because the way the Gemara is leading us down a certain road, would you could imagine the following scenario. Two people have an argument, they come, they form a Beis Din, and one of the guys realizes that he's sitting with two people who don't know what they're talking about. Right? Because that's the scenario the Gemara set up. And if you look at Shulchan Aruch, we're being told, you know, try to avoid that at all costs, but clearly it happens. So what does the guy do in that situation? What is the guy to do when he finds that he's sitting on a panel and the other people are incompetent, they don't know what they're talking about, maybe worse than that? What is he supposed to do at that particular point in time? What? Okay, so maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe they'll listen to him. You know, maybe they will, if he tries. Is that his role? Obviously, to a certain extent it is, but maybe they're not interested in what he has to say. So, later on, we're going to learn another sugya, but we're not seeing the sugya inside right now, but just take another gebir in Shulchan Aruch. Fascinating. Source number 7. Shnayim omim zakai, ve'echad omim chai zakai. That should be obvious. Three judges. Two of them say innocent, one guy says guilty. What's the din? Innocent. Look at that. He's gummier over there. Look at this. I'll give you another one. Shnayim omim chayiv, ve'echad omim zakai. Two of the judges say guilty, one says innocent. What's the din? Chayiv. Okay, obviously. This is what? Achmir Rab Lahatos. He followed the majority. Now it gets a little tricky now. Echad omim zakai. One guy says innocent. The other judge says chayiv. And the other guy says eini yodea. I don't know. So what do you do? So afilu shnayim omim zakai. Even if you have two say innocent, or two say guilty, and one says eini yodea, you'll see fu shnei dayanim. What you do in that case is we automatically add two more judges. V'nimsa shem chamisha. Now, instead of having three judges, we have five. Nosim v'nosim v'davar. They'll deliberate again. Im shloshim azakim. If three of them come out and say innocent, and shnei mechayavim, and two say guilty, so then he's zakai. We have a new row. Three against two. Im shloshim mechayavim. If three says he's guilty, and two says he's innocent, so then chayiv. Shnayim am zakai, shnayim am chayiv. What happens if it's split? Two and two. The echadim says, and again, you have the same problem before. The guy says, I don't know. So then you'll see for odayanim. How many do you have now? Seven. But here it's going to stop. Aval. Arba omim zakai, o chayiv. But if you have four guys who say innocent, and one guy says guilty, and then one guy says eni yodeya, o omim shlosha zakai, or even if you have three against two, and the guy says eni yodeya, in this case, we follow the majority. In this case, we follow the majority. Here, you have seven judges. Four say guilty, two say innocent, right? And one says, I don't know. And you not only that, if you have three against two, and two say, I don't know. We follow
seven. If you have three, and one says, I don't know, what do you do?
If you have three... I don't know why did that discuss of it.
Am I missing something?
No, that's a good question. I guess maybe that case is right. Then we have to bump it up again if you have three. Right. We're going to need a tiebreaker. But the point is over here, at a certain point, we don't require, in other words, it's okay at a certain point for one guy or two guys even to say, we don't know. That's okay. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the first case where we said, no, if we have one guy who says, I don't know, but we had a majority before also. Right, two guys say he's guilty, one guy says, I don't know. Two guys say guilty, one guy says, I don't know. So even if he says innocent, he's still guilty. Oh, so that's exactly it. The Sma says that you have to have three people who are part of the discussion. And then we apply rules. Says the Sma, source number 8. The only time you could say we follow the majority is when the three of them are sitting there and deliberating. And each one is explaining his position. And then two of them come out in one direction. Then we say the third guy, sorry, but we follow the majority. If he says, I don't know, so then, it's like he wasn't there. We can't consider it like he sat with them. If I'm reading, we say, Shema, im yashav imayim shlishi, we say, maybe if there was another guy here, Shema Daito, and he was able to clearly articulate his position, he was able to argue intelligently why he disagreed, so maybe Hoyishnaim Askimimimim, maybe the other two guys would say, you know what, actually I changed my mind. V'zeu dafka b'shloshu rishonim. This is only true in the first three. But once you add more and more and more, so then, we don't say this anymore. So now, comes along the following question. All of this was a lead-in for the following question, and I think I even mentioned this as a preview last week. Turn the page, top of the next page, source number 9. This is really a very fascinating question. Comes along the Pitzchei Tshuva, who quotes a lot of the Shas Tshuvas that relate to the Sefer Shulchan Aruch that he's commenting on. So Pitzchei Tshuva says, originally I started, taking excerpts from these Tshuvas, and I realized, we would probably spend, more time than we have on this. So Pitzchei Tshuva is a nice summary of the Shitos. He says, I am the Tshuvas Beis Yaakov, Simen Tez Vav, Shabba B'Shaila. He has the following question. Shlosha Dainam Shiyashu B'din. Three judges. Shnayim Zakin V'Yachad Daita L'Chayim. Two guys say innocent, and one guy, he's inclined to say guilty. Im Rishoyim Achayiv Lasos Tachbula. Is this guy who's leaning towards a guilty verdict, is he able to come up with to apply the following strategy? He'll say, I don't know. Kidei Shiyosif Aleim Dayan. Right? A guy sitting there, he's a judge, and he's about to witness that which he views to be a miscarriage of justice. He feels that there's great injustice that's about to take place, and he can't bear to watch it. He sees that his two fellow judges are about to let this guy walk, and he feels that that can't happen. So if he rules guilty, he'll be overruled. But if he says, Eni Odeya, suddenly it's like, what do we call it? It's like... It's a mistrial, exactly, right? So it's like, what's it called? The jury is a hung jury. Is that what it's called? It's like hung. So, it's brilliant. So Beherich Batesh, so he has a whole discussion about this. Umesik to Asur Lasos King. The Beis Yaakov says, you're not allowed to do this. And he brings a raya from a Gemara later on, not so far, the Fes, Tosos there, who are concerned about what's called Laz, Choshen Laz, which means we're concerned about rumors that people are going to look at this Beis Din that couldn't get their act together, and going to say, listen, look what's going on over here. These people, they don't know what they're doing. Here they sat for hours, they sat for days, and it turns out they need to bring in more, more backup. So it shows that they don't know what they're doing. And even if this guy says, I don't care about my reputation, he doesn't have a right to go ahead and just make the whole Beis Din look like they're incompetent. And that's what he's doing, if he just goes ahead and basically tanks the whole panel. The Ayin B'Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, not Beis Yaakov, look in the Tshuvas Yishuvas, and this is our case. Nisha B'Kiyotzi B'Zeh, B'Chad Mirabonon, Asher Nisnam L'Ledun, Im Shnei Yoshvei Kronos. He wasn't paying attention. It says in Shulchan Aruch, don't do it, but he didn't realize, and he agreed, and he's sitting on a court, he's sitting with a panel of judges, and he realizes that he's sitting next to two people who have no idea what they're doing. And he's how do I get myself into this mess? It's an embarrassing situation. It's humiliating for him. He feels that he doesn't know what to do. Im yesh lo takana levatel hadin hamakukol asher yotzmi yadam nistakum hadin. Maybe now again, I imagine he'll try to do what Bob said. Bob said, let him try to reason with these other guys and say, listen, guys, listen. I've been in yeshiva my whole life. Let me teach you a thing or two. But they're not interested. And they don't want to listen to him. So he feels that he's really stuck. So maybe what? Loma will say, I don't know. Kideshi Yosifa Dayanim, Kideshi Yatsadin Lamito. He's hoping that more judges will come in, and hopefully the next judges will be qualified like he is, and then we can save the day here. The Heshiv, so the Shvus Yaakov says, Vizelashon, and this is a quote, Vadai de Shapir Dabi Lamevet Hach. You can do that. Kaven the Kavanos, Kolashem Shemayim. Lahotzi Adin Lamito, Ayadeshi Yosifa Dayanim. After all, what does this guy want trying to do? He's trying to do what's right. He's trying to promote Kavod Shemayim. Afagav to Shkurei Kamishakris, even though he's lying by saying, I don't know, because he adopted, because he does know the din. Mikomakom Kaimelon Mutu L'Shanes Min Be'a Shalom V'dina Shlomahu. You're allowed to lie in a case where it's Shalom, and this case, Mishpat, or preserving din, that's Shalom. So that's the Shvus Yaakov. Achein comes along the Pesach Shuva, or maybe this is actually part, still better, this may actually be part of this is all part of the Shavuos Yaakov. Chayin, he says, Re'isi, but Shavuos Beis Yaakov, that you're not allowed to do this. And he brings a raya of the Motzi Laz. I'll call the Varva in Mechrochim. He says, what he said does not necessarily apply over here. Kan, Kevan, Shehadayim, Sovashim, Aklim, Umuv, Usim, Esadin, Kihula, Daito, Lehefak. Remember, the original case we talked about, where the guy was saying, I don't see it that way. And so therefore, he was looking to sabotage the din so it should go in his favor. That's not the case over here. The guy's not saying, I don't see it that way. He's saying, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're about to go ahead and carry out a terrible injustice. So Yosef Yishlachus, Ivos HaDin. So we should be concerned about a real evil sadin, which means a corruption of justice. That's more concerning to us than concerned about the reputation of people in this world. Even concerned about the people in this world, he says, that's covered a mezuma, hamaduma ba'olamazeh. All right, what's covered in this world? It's only so important. But covered in the next world, imagine this, if you're sitting on a bezdin and they carry out some major corruption of justice, so that's, you get to see real design in the next world. That's more important. Vihine, he says a couple of lines later, Michlal de Vereshus Yaakov Anizka Nira de Lavdaka Bechai Gavna Dizan Sheela Shnaim Shimohemi Yoshri Kronos. Based on this, it would seem that even in a, it doesn't have to be such an extreme case with a Yoshri Kronos. Afilum Gama Shnaim Gemire, even if the other two are learned, Svire, Zekamo, Yachal Asos Kenlam, and Yodea, the guy is allowed to do this if he's certain, from his perspective, he's certain that they're wrong. Aval, he says, the Sefer Berki Yosef, he also discusses this at length, and he brings many rights that you're not allowed to do this. Because of Adam Ki Ish, Ezo the Chuyus Barayis Eilil, he says this is wrong. He said, Lefin is Daiki, third line from the bottom, Asur Ladayin Lashakir, a judge is not permitted to lie. Lemevet Titztaki, he is not permitted to come up with this shtick, this trash, this strategy. Lakim Mezimos Libo, in order to be able to play out whatever, you know, plans he has, conspiracies he has, the Chiyuva Rama Le Legalos Daito Bamas, what can he do other than speak the truth the way he sees it? Then Chaver of Yamdu B'daitam, if the people decide not to listen to him, Mashkosle, it's not his problem. V'yadin Kesvarasam, the din will follow their opinion. Ki Rabamim, that's what the Torah says, you follow the majority. V'kachi Amida, that's the rule. The rule is majority wins. So if it turns out that he's screaming and screaming and screaming, they don't listen to him, okay. That's, you know, in this world, what can you call you so much? It's a fascinating debate. Really very, when you take a step back and just think about it, really, you know, really amazing debate over here. So whether or not a dayan is permitted to lie by saying he doesn't know in order to further that which he is convinced is ultimately right, is ultimately din and mishpat. So you have, on the one hand, the Shvus Yaakov that says he's allowed to, and even seems to imply that he must. Beis Yaakov says he's not allowed to, but then again he's talking about a different case. And the Berki Yosef says, no, you can't do this in any case. You have to stay away from these practices. A Dayan is not allowed to lie. And you don't say, Mutal Lashanav Sinei Shalom, Medina Shlomo, you don't say that. Yeah.
But that's a really interesting risk that this guy would be willing to take, because even if they add Dayanim, it's still not going away.
Okay.
And then, I mean, it just seems like it's all for nothing to just throw out your...
It may not work.
...throw out your thing because of a possible chance that it might work and might go your way.
It may not work, but what does he have to lose? I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But he's tried everything he could at that point. It can't end up worse if he has two more Diana. Yeah?
The only way I could see this strategy would be legitimate would be if there's only one Gomer on the basement. And the Gomer is the one having this idea. Because if the other person's a Gomer too, then he's as sure as the
first one. Right. Correct. I mean, so that's why, again, that's why the Shuz Yaakov says, listen, I think my case is different than Beis Yaakov, because in this case, the guy knows that he's right. It's not like in the other case where everybody always thinks they're right. But after all, the other guy's also entitled to opinion. You never know. Sometimes, Rav Shechter used to say that, I mean, so maybe he still says it, but I used to remember him saying that when he was in the Rav Shir, when he was young, the Rav used to say these things, and they would listen to him and think he was crazy. Like, what's he talking about? Like, obviously not everything. They revered the Rav, and they thought he was an absolute genius, but every once in a while, he would say something, and they would think he is wrong. It just doesn't make any sense. And then he said they got older, 10, 20, 30 years later, they would be thinking the same thing, said, that's what happens in life. The older we get, the smarter our parents get, right? So you're right, it's a very slippery slope if you're dealing with people who are all gemire, and then one guy says, these guys don't know what they're talking about, so I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to sabotage this whole hearing. As opposed to a case where one guy knows that he's learned it, and he knows that these other guys, mamash, are yoshei kvanos. So that's where the Shvus Yaakov says, we saw in Shulchan Aruch, you should never find yourself in this mess in the first place. You should never agree to sit with them. But if it happens, as the Gemara says, Yefshid, the less... Now this is all very fascinating, because again, what does the Gemara say? Yefshid, less buchad the gamir. It's impossible that you're not going to have at least one guy who's gamir. What is that one guy supposed to do? So either he's supposed to do like the like the Birkei Yosef says, like Bob says, he should try to reason with them. He should try to talk to them and talk some sense into them. Maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe they won't. If they don't listen to him, they don't. But it could be that if he finds himself in this situation, maybe he has another option. And the other option would be at least to try, he may not succeed, but at least to try to manipulate things so that they work in his favor. One more Mar Malcolm on this topic. This comes from, you know, somewhat of an unusual source for this year. It comes from the Sefer Me'ah Shiloah, which is a Sefer which has, for the most part, Hasidic Torah and Drashos from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. So the Ishbitzer over here is trying to explain the concept of Eif Shedlesku Chadagamir. Now, until now, we've been explaining this as sort of like it's a matter of statistics, right? I mean, that's at least how I understood it. That if you have one guy, it's possible to be Yoshev Kronos. But if you have three people, when the Gemara says, E.F. Shedlesku Chadagamir, what did that mean? It's impossible. I mean, did you think it meant that it's literally impossible? Well, we did see one opinion. Remember that the Shaar Mishpat has said, it is impossible. Why? Because the guy would never have agreed to sit with them. They would never have agreed to sit without a guy who's gummy. But Pashup Shad is, when it says E.F. Shad, it doesn't mean it's literally impossible. It means that it's unlikely, less likely. So the Ishbitzer has an interesting explanation. I'm not sure I completely understand this, but I decided it was kedai to share with you because, and actually you'll see why, even though I don't understand this, I wanted to share with you. He writes, now he's actually talking over here about a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, Shlocha she'achul ha'achas chayevin lezamin. You have three people who eat together, so they have what's called a zimun. What's the idea of three people having a zimun? He'ineh he'inyin bazeh. K'di'isa be'gemara she'ein datam zomun lazeh, ve'in partzifeim zomun zelazeh. The issue is like this. We were just talking about this at the table the other day in Yom Tov. One of the great miracles of the world is that we all have the same features, the same facial features, but everybody's face is completely different. Says the Gemara, just like everybody has a different facial expression, and just like no two people look exactly alike, so too ain datam zomun zelazeh. Their personalities are different and unique. People don't think, no two people think exactly the same. V'nei k'shiyochlu shlosha, Oz roa hashlishi she yishnei deos nefradim hafachim. When you have three people sitting together, one guy realizes that he's sitting with two people who think differently than he does. Mizem makir she yesh Hashem yizbarach shebara elu hafachim, v'Hashem yizbarachu ma'achtam v'utamim deyim v'alei ruchos hachavasa. When you sit with a group of people and you see the differing views, so then you can have, perhaps, almost like this spiritually enlightening moment. You can have this surge of emunah when you realize how beautiful, how complex a world HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that he created each and every one of us with more or less the same, you know, our brains work the same way, but yet they always lead to such different places, and we all have such different ways of thinking about things. Now this I definitely didn't understand. It says in the Zohar, "Ubalo lekeren, ubalo lekeren." I think like we say in the Mishnah, "Zel makomen ibon." Ubalo lekeren, dromus atzonis, aminav akadmisav hayadato raza lekeren, vado o machusa kedusha. V'hainu ki kol arba ruchos hema fachim zemze. That the four directions are all opposites. I think it's talking about the four directions of the mizbeach. Kedisa b'zohar kadosh, safon ir kor v'lach. Darom yucham de yavesh velachin bekeren ha'ma'ached shnei ruchos hafachim misham nikar achtus Hashem yizbarach shema'ached kolan efradim. When you come to a corner which is ma'ached, which combines or sort of unifies the other two, so that's where a person realizes the achtus Hashem. V'chein be'inyan zimun b'shlosha kevin sheyishnayim nifradim l'chein yochel hashlishi lahakir hakara mufureshes v'loma nevaresh she'achalim yishalo. When three people are sitting together, one guy looks at the other two, and he can have this clear sense in his mind of Hashem, and he could declare these words, Nevarech Shachanim Shalo, and then he says, Ki v'yisa b'gemara, b'tzlasa i'efshet d'les b'l'chad d'gamer. Now, this is fascinating, because I don't really know what he's saying, but what he seems to be saying is, not like we were saying before, that when you have three people, statistically speaking, you're likely to have at least one guy who's gummier. He seems to say something different, and that is, when you have three people, all of a sudden it becomes a whole different dynamic. When you have two people, it's just you and the other guy. When you have a third guy and you take a step back and you look and you see, he looks at these something this way, he looks at something that way, so you appreciate, you know, the complexity with the diversity within creation, the way people, so then suddenly, suddenly you understand things better. So that's why I said I wanted to share this with you, even if I didn't understand it, because exactly that is the point. You know, when you don't understand things, you know, when you share with others and you get other people's input and perspective and insight, so then suddenly you walk away more gummier than you would have otherwise been, which seems to be what he's saying over here. That the guy came into this situation not a gummier, but he emerges gummier. Now, obviously, this is a very, it's a Hasidic sefer. It's a very, it doesn't sound like that's what the Gemara is talking. The Gemara speaks about gummier. Rashi says these are actual credentials. This is a person who knows something, as opposed to a person who just has this, you know, epiphany, or he's inspired at this particular moment. But there is truth to this, clearly, even on a practical level, that when you speak to other people and you, you know, expose yourself to other people's opinions and you listen to other people, especially people that you don't tend to agree with, you usually walk out, you know, smarter than you were beforehand, more enriched, you understand more, not just about his position, but even about your own position. I once heard a beautiful pshat. I never found this inside, but I heard the name of I heard this from Rav Alpert, Rav Nissim Alpert. I started to say Rav Zalman Meltzer, I don't think that shoes of Nissim Alpert, that the pasuk says in Parshas Shoftim, tzedek, tzedek yodof, that you should pursue justice. But it doesn't say, you would have expected to say tzedek yodof. Now, there are times where the Torah uses, takes a word and repeats it for the purpose of emphasis, but usually that's the same word is not repeated twice. You have like by tzedakah, pasach tiftach es yad chalo, right? V'havet v'avitanu, azov tazov. These are common expressions you find in the Torah. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof is unusual. Tzedek is a noun, right? Tzedek is, so what does it mean? Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. So the explanation that I heard was when you have a problem that comes before you, you hear two sides in an argument. So you in your mind, you form an opinion what you think tzedek is. You hear both sides and you have your prejudice. You don't have to literally be prejudiced, but you have you come to your decision. What you have to realize is that there's another position, often, there's another side that is also tzedek. It looks just as much like tzedek as yours does. And you have to be rodef after that. You have to try to pursue it. That is the job of a dayan, to see things not only the way he sees things, but to be able to try to see things through the eyes, the perspectives of the two litigants, and then take a step back and think about what's really right over here. So the Torah doesn't just say tzedek yodof, because that's easy. Everybody's rodef tzedek. I'm always rodef what I think is tzedek. But I have to be rodef, not just my tzedek, but your tzedek. I have to see that life is complex, and sometimes, like they say, not everything's black and white. There's my black and white, and there's your black and white, and it's not always the same. So it could be that that's, you know, on some level, that's what it means. When you have three people, the less luchad gamir, that at least there's going to be one guy who is who's gamir among them. Okay, so I'll just tell you for next week, what we're going to start off talking about before we go on in the Gemara, what is a bezin chatzif? We have to deal with that expression. What does it mean, a bezin chatzif? That'll be the first few minutes of next week's Shivu Nether, and then we'll continue on to the Gemara. Okay.